Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Plugcast. We are brought to you guys by sportshoes.com as always. Look, I know it's a Tuesday, but we're switching things up a bit. Matt and I are going to mix up the format a little bit over the next few weeks and we're going to chat about that now, aren't we, mate? How are you there, first of all, mate?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, mate. Getting ready for the old Bucks cross country on the weekend. So just scanning through a load of entries now, actually, see what we're up against. But after that tough defeat on the weekend, I know as an Arsenal fan, it was a tough weekend.
Here we go. Well, are you now admitting that you're a Man United fan? Is that it? Rather than shutting it down like you were a few weeks ago? Or
I know, not at all, mate. I think everyone's a Man United fan when they play Arsenal, though. Who, like, no one likes Arsenal except Arsenal fans.
I don't know, mate. I think people would rather see Man United stay down there. I'm not talking about football, mate. We'll see at the end of the season.
We will. We're stepping into a new era, mate, I think. And, you know, me and Lam have been discussing and with Sports Shoes as well, and where, you know, we've been operating pretty much the same format for the last 5 years, which is just a rather long time. And I think we know that something needs to change, and I think we could do a bit more and we could do better. So we are going to do that, and it might pay off, it might not. So let's see. But effectively, for you listeners, you can give us your feedback over the next week. But we are wanting to turn this podcast into a little bit more of a radio show where we have guests come on live and give their opinion. And I think what we've realized, haven't we, Lum, is that a lot of people have fantastic opinions and ideas about the sport. And you know, typically when I listen to a podcast, I want to respond or ask a question off the back of what a host or a guest says. And I think we're going to give people the opportunity to do that. So I think each week we're going to have a little bit more of a topic to debate, and we want people to come on, chip in their ideas. If they can't come on live and speak on the podcast, then obviously they can just send us a message and we can sort of forward that on. And that might be a good message to sort of discuss around and bring up as well. So we want it to be a little bit more chat show, a little bit more talk sport, if you like, and less Q&A. We will still keep the Q&A format once a month and try and get on a sort of nice high profile guest once a month as well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So plan is to release every Tuesday. So we'll record on a Tuesday. Time might vary slightly, but we'll let you guys know when we're recording over on our Instagram, kind of probably on the Friday. And then if you have got time to jump on, you can ping us a message and we'll sort something out about getting you on for a little segment. And you can offer your opinion. And I think, yeah, like you say, mate, I think we get a lot of nice comments, and by nice comments I don't mean necessarily just positive about us, like nice comments that make you think and make you reconsider some of the stuff that we've been talking about. So it'd be good to chat to you guys who've kind of allowed us to do this for the past 4 or 5 years, and allow us to engage with you more and have more kind of heated discussions, because Matt and I, we have our disagreements, but I appreciate that probably a lot of the time we're on the same page as well. So it'd be good to hear from some of you guys listening that maybe aren't on that page, or maybe you are. So yeah, excited for that. And of course, as well, like you said, mate, an absolutely stellar guest every month, to keep you guys enjoying that, your classic Sunday podcast on a Sunday. So you're welcome to listen to the Tuesday episodes on a Sunday as well. If that's what you like doing on your long run, I think that was the original purpose of the pod. But yeah, it'd be good to chat through everything that goes on each weekend.
100%. And I think this just comes off the back of, like you said, we recognize that some people are in a better position to talk on. I just, you know, picture a Liverpool cross country preview. There are a lot of people who are in a great position to talk on how their training partners are going, or how people in, you know, their local club are going, and what their chances are going into Liverpool. That's just one example. But there's so many topics in this sport that are worth debating every week, and we want to push that. And so we want the podcast to become, yeah, much more conversational and chat show-esque. And we hope it brings up drama, gossip, and all the naughty stuff in between. But hey, let's move on to this week's episode, shall we? And by the way, we plan to start this by next week, and it might be a total failure next week. We might have no one call in, we might have no one message in, but if that's the case, then me and you will just discuss. We plan to also just finally release a few topics on the Sunday, Monday, and say this is what we want to focus on in tomorrow's episode. And then you guys can just, you know, give your opinions around that, and we can arrange getting you on the podcast and get you to phone in. But let's get into this episode, bud. I mean, headlines this weekend. Should we start with just the regional cross-country races? Because I think for me, there was some quite out there performances, quite impressive performances. James Kingston started there at the Southern Cross. I mean, he won it by 90 seconds. I don't know what the longest winning margin is at that event, but that was, you know, Jack Cavanagh was in the race. Jack Cavanagh got third. Callum Charleston, huge run from him. Medaled last year, gets second this year. Bumps up from that bronze. Yeah, congrats to him. But yeah, Kingston just flew round Beckenham Palace.
Yeah, he certainly did, mate. And you mentioned kind of some big names in there. Same thing in the Northerns, right? You got Callum Johnson at the front. You got McMillan in there as well. Harry Wakefield. All big names, and it's good that people are still rocking out to the Southerns and the Northerns, because they don't get as much hype as maybe they should and as they used to, and we appreciate the schedule is heavy, but it's good to see that people are still wanting to go and contesting these events. I mean, mate, you were really impressed with the Midlands, right? In a certain Josh Leigh, who looks to be on his way back, right?
Well, I mean, like, yeah, it looks like another comeback for Josh Leigh. We're going to see him at the National Cross. Got second at the Midlands, beat Jack Gray. Took a bit of a scalp there on the mud, at least. And yeah, Pete Malloy won it. So credit to him, Western Tempo man. He took the dub, but put about 20-odd seconds on Leigh. But yeah, I just thought, you know, there's when most people sort of make a comeback, they might do like the, you know, a low-key road race or something, but he just got stuck into a 12K cross, which I kind of rated. So, yeah, fair. And women's Midlands, Sean Rainsley took the win, triathlete, and Liv Matthias second, another triathlete, and then Meg Stenhouse third. And then just on the women's Southerns as well, it's worth mentioning, Katie O'Neill wins, Andrea Clement and Meg Gatsby, who won last year, got third this year. So kind of these are probably going to be your big players going into that National Cross now, a month out.
Yeah, and then in the Northerns, in the women's race, Katie Hawkins took the win, Alice Wright second, and Rachel Brown in third. I believe over in the Welsh champs as well, we had history made with brother and sister winning the senior men's and a senior women's race.
Yeah, Chastens wearing those Belgrave colours, taking the Welsh champs. I mean, that's on your doorstep. That's in Cardiff. Maybe that's more your domain. But no, I think that is...
I should be the Welsh correspondent, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah, mate.
I should know more about the
regional correspondent.
Welsh champs, yeah. But yeah, I think... Were they based in the US previously? Is that right?
Brutally honest, mate. I don't know their background. Tell us, you're the Welsh correspondent. Down, yeah, Power 10 is down. I mean, we can't find anything out anymore. We're useless.
So yes, I can't. I can't look it up and pretend I know. But I want to say, I either they're US based or kind of grew up in the US. Certainly,
I've seen Chastain on the UK circuit for a while, so they're definitely here now.
Yeah. I know, but previously, I think they've done some running in the US. So yeah, I guess ones to look out for.
It's a big result. Good win from them. Also in Wales, BMC Fitzgerald 8:47. It's probably the highlight of British Miners Club in Cardiff.
It's a quick track, mate.
Well, actually, I think Fitzgerald will be relatively pleased with that. She's spoken about potentially not doing a full indoor season, just a couple races, just to basically just help her get ready for outdoors. It's a big year outdoors, especially for Brits, because one, that European team is going to be so difficult to make. It's going to be just as hard as a World Championship team, I think. And then secondly, you want to make it, and then you want to go and really perform on a European level like that. That's where I think you can really make a name for yourself. You can definitely make a final, and then it's like, well, can you get, you know, top eight, top five? How close to the medals can you get? So it's it'd be a big ask for Fitzgerald to medal, I think, at the Europeans over 5,000. But it's just it's a big year for her. And so she's spoken about not doing full indoor season.
Yeah, which I think is smart. I think we've seen so many people get carried away over the years and thinking, oh, this, I'm just going to try and make every team I can. But she is at the level now where I think it's the right decision to start picking and choosing. yeah, after the summit she had last year, like trying to nail indoors isn't or shouldn't be a priority. She's had a cross country season already. Yeah, well, and why not swing for a medal in the summer? Like you said, it's going to be a bit of a long shot, but why not go out there? Like, this is someone that wants to compete on the world stage, so she's got to start doing on a European stage at some point. And if you look at all the people that do go and perform well on a world stage at a young age on a European level, they're pretty damn good.
I mean, talk of flipping age, mate. The world's gone nuts. Sam Ruth, 16, runs 3:53 for the
marathon. That was bonkers. Absolutely bonkers.
The sport is just, it is like the 1500 meter running, especially, it's just a young man's game right now. Like the average age of these world stars. I mean, like Kessler's, what would he be? Just leaving college now, maybe? Like if he went to college for 4 years, like he's like the oldest of the bunch. Obviously, you've got Hocker. He's a little old, but I was going to say, like, you've got Laros, you've got that Moberg the other day running 3:34. He's young as hell. Sam Ruth, Cam Myers just dominating in, you know, in Boston, 7:27. It's nuts. I think there's only going to be more youngsters just attacking through. And then, of course, you've got all the Kenyans and Ethiopians and stuff who are, even Kip Limo's only 23, 24 years of age, for God's sake. So, yeah.
I do just think, like, people are training at an elite level from such a young age these days that you've got enough years of training at a high level to run well at 16, 17.
I think you're right. They do have, you know, years in their legs already, but I just think they have the right training as well. And what it is for me is there just seems to be so many more. Like, let's say in the UK, if you're a hotshot 14, 15-year-old, potentially there's an opportunity to join M11, like that group. And like when you look at like Laros and the setup that he joined, and it was kind of built around him almost, that Lewandowski sort of like saw the opportunity. Obviously, he was working with Dutch Athletics at the time, sees the opportunity in this guy, and he's like, right, we need to build like a, you know, a really deep endurance group here. And to be fair to Cam Myers, you know, he's obviously based in Australia, still with the coach he had as a kid. And, you know, by hitting those milestones as a 15, 16-year-old, they then get to sign a contract and they then actually get to live like a pro for 4 years until they're 20. So that between 16 and 20, when most kids are having to negotiate, you know, A-levels, going to university, all of this stuff, and their training is just very up and down, inconsistent, it's a tough time for them. Yeah. These guys are living like pros for that crucial 4 years. And I guess that's why, you know, they then get to 20 and they're absolutely, you know, smoking because everything's come together and they haven't, in that 4 year development, they've hardly put a foot wrong whilst their body's coming into its absolute peak.
Yeah, I do think we've said it on the pod before that, like, the kind of, I think it's particularly a British mindset, or maybe it certainly used to be, in terms of like telling young athletes, oh yeah, you'll peak at 28, 30. But athletes don't get a chance to peak at that age because they're not pro athletes. Like they've been pushed out of the sport without support or without kind of the means to carry on at a decent level. So there's not really much point in waiting or trying to peak then if you're not going to get yourself a pro deal much before then, kind of out of university at the latest, because you can't train at that level. You can't commit yourself and use your peak years as an elite.
Yeah, it is such a fine line though, because I think the problem that people are facing in the UK a lot is they have been incredible juniors, but they haven't got any support. And so that 3-4 years that we're talking about, they just haven't been able to act like other people have in. And I almost think like some of these smaller nations, like the Netherlands, like us, you know, I'm not saying Australia's a small nation, but they're, you know, the sort of the depth in Australia is at a junior level is not the same as it is here. And so they've been able to sort of really embed themselves in professional setups and everything like that. Whereas I think, you know, you could be a 16-year-old running 3:45 and there's not, you know, there's just, there's not much support there. But what's to say in 3 or 4 years, you couldn't be running 3:33. But I think that's the issue, because 3:45 in the UK, you know, if you're 16 or not, that ranks you outside the top 100.
We also just haven't had many professional setups based in the UK historically.
No, we don't have professionals. It's very much, and this is where just sort of like coaching support and everything like that probably needs to improve, with transitioning youngsters into better seniors, because no coaches are getting
junior to senior camp, mate.
It's a time. Yeah, it's a good segue actually, but it's opening up people's eyes, because you know, when you look at even like, let's, you know, I always think like people like Mark Hookway, Dave Reagan, you know, that's just off the top of my head. You know, these people do a phenomenal job, but what support is Dave Reagan getting as a coach that has produced a world medalist, maybe some absolute stipends? But you know, what the impact that he could have at Basingstoke with up and coming 16, 17 year olds, and the setup that if he was getting much more support that he could produce, and the sort of talent that he could produce out of there. But instead, they have to just work with what they got, which is obviously, you know, you've got your local track and you make use of all the local facilities, the hills and everything like that, which of course you can still produce. I'm not saying you can't produce insane athletes. You can still produce incredible athletes. But when we're talking about, you know, people like Cam Myers, Hob Kessler, like these guys are, you know, and what the NCAA provides, it's just that next notch up. It's an interesting debate, and it'll maybe one we'll get some people on in another week. But let's get back to let's get back to the podcast here. And yeah, I mean, Cam Myers was very, very impressed with that 7:27. I mentioned he looked easy running 3:49 the week before, but there were a couple world records that we should give some airtime to. Josh Hoey, 1:42 for the 800. If we start there,
oh yeah, it's a stellar time indoors, isn't it? But I always wonder if the 800, one day are they going to start like cracking the 800 indoors, you know, because I thought the same when Giles ran a world record, in that, okay, it's a great time and not taking anything away from it. But well, Giles is not the greatest 800 indoor runner of all time in the same way Josh Hoey is not. And so I wonder at what point we start really seeing, maybe not necessarily just quick 800s, but like real, all the best athletes running 800s, and maybe we never will indoors. Maybe it's just not the place for it. But what I always think with that one, it's a world record, but does it make Josh Hoey the best 800 meter runner of all time ever indoors?
Time will tell outdoors. Yeah, I don't know. He looks flipping good. He does look a bit like...
No, that's not me saying it's not a good run. Of course, like you have to do it, and no
he
one
reminds
else has
me of,
done it
yeah.
before.
He reminds me of Sebco a little bit. He really does. The way that his stride just moves, like, it is absolutely faultless. He has such a good smooth cadence. You know, his arms are a little stretched upper body, but he just floats around there at speed as well. I was very impressed with the way he ran. I do kind of hear what you're saying. The indoor tracks for me has been, you know, you talk about outdoor tracks developing. Indoor tracks have developed massively over the years, and obviously just with pacing lights and everything like that. Obviously, it makes it a lot easier to pace an 800, I think, when you have lights. And obviously, he had his brother in there as well. But take nothing away from him. That is a very impressive world record. And now you begin, if you're running 1:42.5 indoors, what can you go and run outdoors in that sort of setup? Because this is the year, you know, this is a year for the Americans to just go and attack. They are very close to a lot of world records. And I wonder if Hoey will now think about that. Because if he can find a not even a low-key race, but a race which is geared towards him, his problem is going to be when there's too many bodies to fight with. You can just tell that actually he can hold that velocity. You know, he can hold it. But what I think he'll struggle with is too many, you know, if you get Wanyonyi and Arop and, you know, all these, and Patterson and Bergen and all these other guys in the equation, it becomes difficult, because then there is an element of like, you're having to try and win, you're having to fight people off, position yourself, break first, all of that stuff, so no one gets in your way. Yeah, I think he is going to chase that. He is going to chase that world record.
Yeah, and like you say, it's a great opportunity for athletes to do this. And it's almost similar to, I guess not on the same scale, but during the COVID years when you had Cheptegei going after records, because that was all there was to go after. But there's lots of nations that can support athletes in going and doing that. And it doesn't really take much these days. Like, they're like,
nah.
You mentioned earlier about Wales and Cardiff. Like, Cardiff, Leckwith has wave lights built in. Like, it does not get, they don't get used at every meet, but the technology is there. So I'm sure there's plenty of kind of fairly low key on a world scale tracks that have the technology, and all it takes is a federation to go and support one of their athletes or a sponsor to support them and say, yeah, we'll put wave lights in. Josh Hoey, like you say, he's got his brother as a star. I'm sure it's not difficult to rope him into pace. And I'm sure then get a few more in. And yeah, why not? Why not go in?
Alan Webbitt, when Alan Webb ran his 3:46, that was...
over in Belgium.
Yeah, but that was a low-key meet, wasn't it? And he was like the only credible guy there. So I could see him doing a few things like that. But he was extremely impressive, and I look forward to seeing more of him. Also super impressive, and I feel like his form has actually improved. It's difficult for Hobbs Kessler to improve his form, but he looked insanely smooth running that 2K. And again, you know, what's a 4:48 worth? The only thing we can go off is, you know, he's running on a much faster track, wave lights, Grant Fisher in the race, you know, it was perfectly set up for him. But, you know, Hocker's run 4:52, and we know he's the 5,000 meter world champion and a 1,500 meter Olympic champion. So the Hocker does, for me, an extremely good job at peaking at the right time. And he's one of the few people, I think, left in the game that that seems a lot of athletes are just on it all year round.
Well, look at Grand Slam last year.
Perfect all year round. Yeah, yeah. How poor Hocker was in that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, I think purposely poor. That's the thing. It's not about being not on it, but I think it's just he just wasn't in 1500 meter or 3000 meter or 800 meter shape. Yeah. You and look, we can only go off what we have seen, and unfortunately, he's one of the athletes that does share a lot of his training through the kind of YouTube and things like that. But some of the strength work they were doing was unreal, and it's almost no wonder that he then a week later, when he's not eased down and he's racing twice in 2 days with long travel and signing autographs here, there and everywhere, that he's not quite on his game. But some of the work he was putting in was for traditionally for a 1500 meter guy, it looks like a lot.
Yeah, I think you're dead right. And he does.
Particularly with the intensity they do as well. I think that's the thing with Ben Thomas's training, is they're putting in serious work, but they're also adding in bits and bobs here and there of multi-pace change, hills. For me, that group, that's just fascinating how they use that long run. Like they'll say, oh, today's long run day, but they rock up to the track and they do some reps and they do some hills, and it just comes out a 15, 16 mile at the end of it. But it's all been kind of all over the place. And
multi-pace work. Yeah. So I guess that's what we can compare Kessler to. And obviously the guys in the race as well, like Fisher, Whiteman, like, you know, he's put all of those guys away.
Yeah. What do you think of Whiteman's run, mate?
Yeah. Solid enough. I mean, you said it last week, didn't you? You know, he usually opens with a 7, you know,
if 7:50 in Sheffield.
Or has done, you know, the year he won the World Championships, that's what he did. So yeah, I think he'll be pretty pleased with that, to be, you know, sort of low 450s for 2K. And, you know, he knows that he's going to have to run around 60 seconds a lap next weekend, or this weekend, shall I say, in Milroy's in that 2 mile. So
yeah, I was impressed, actually. I thought that was a good...
Solid enough, yeah.
And he's one as well that doesn't need to be firing all the time.
He'll want to win that European title. You know, he'll want to win that European title. I think, Jakob... Actually, talking about him, you know, we spoke about him last week, but he had a great article came out with him. And was it Times or The Guardian?
Guardian.
Was it Guardian? Yeah. And obviously, he wants to do Europeans. He wants to go for every world record. So there are going to be so many world record attempts this year, honestly. And we've already seen two in pretty much the first big meet of the year. On the women's side, it is worth talking about Jess Hull gets crushed in the 3K by Elle St. Pierre, who... We were saying before, weren't we? Like, if she, you know, she's obviously had years away from the sport where she's had a baby, inspired by Kip Yegon and obviously Chebet's Hamon this year. And look at what she can still do. And yeah, she's back, and she's surely going to roll this into LA for her. That'll be the goal, I imagine. But that was a big performance from her. 8 months ago, gave birth, runs 8:26.
Yeah, it's crazy. That is
fucking hell. Most lads train their whole life to run 8:26.
Yeah.
The reason I bring up Hull is just because, you know, that defeat for me probably wouldn't have cared about it too much. Would have been like, yeah, it's January. But she's been talking about world records indoors. So I'm going, well, you know, what sort of shape is she in? And she just got ran out, just didn't have the legs. Sometimes you get that indoors. You do all this training and, you know, your first couple races, you know, the fitness might be there, but you just haven't experience those race, that sort of race effort enough, and you sort of get two-thirds of the way in, you're like, ah, it's not there today. But, you know, over the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, can she layer it on and find that missing Cade? Maybe she's not as strong, but slightly quicker. You know, she speaks about going for the world record over the 2000, I think. So, yeah, but very impressed by St. Pierre and Lyndon Hall as well. Very, very impressive. And speed on the women's side, Izzy Boffey, obviously stand out for as far as you're a Brit. 2 flat PB for her indoors, second place in Boston. Yeah, is this an opportunity for her to sort of this year? You just think that definitely Keeley, definitely Georgia, but I think they'll both do the 800 at Europeans, and so there's one spot really.
Yeah, I think they will. I think Georgia potentially will double up. I think Keeley will probably try and make the 4x4 team as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. For those caliber athletes, it makes sense to try and maximize their exposure and their opportunities to do well in these championships. So it's going to be such a hard team to make. Like, obviously, you got Riki. Is Phoebe Gill going to be back? Have we got some youngsters that I've never even heard of, as we see every year in the 800 meters that are coming through? And yeah, I think Boffey's been there or thereabouts for quite a few years now. And yeah, I think she needs to have a good year if she's then going to kick on. And I'm sure she's obviously got her sights set on LA kind of more long term. But if she's going to if she's going to do that, it'll be right about now. She wants to start making sure she's cementing herself in European teams
and making European finals as well.
Yeah, because then you go in with that in your locker, right? Not just confidence wise, but when you're asking questions of selectors and things like that, if you've got those medals in your back pocket, then when it comes down to the tight ones, then yeah,
exactly. So that was impressive. I mean, men's 600 was again pretty impressive. Kian McPhillips getting a win. That was a great episode speaking to him. So I mean, he was so precise, and clearly that precision is paying off early season. So it's going to be Milrose is going to be huge. We might even see more world records come out of Milrose. Hey, big news this week though. I think that for me, that pretty much wraps up Boston. There is a couple of things to look forward to. Obviously, we've got Milrose this weekend. Boston Indoors is this weekend. There's two Bostons, right? The BU Terrier, I think it is this Saturday. And then Milrose is on Sunday. And then there is another Boston.
BU Valentine, normally.
Valentine, yeah. Which is what, 13th or 14th of Feb. So there's a couple Bostons. So I'm intrigued to see. Doesn't sound like there's as much excitement around Boston.
Yeah, you say this, and every year they always...
Yeah, sort of. The BU Valentine, I think, a lot of them do on Milrose.
Each other, aren't they? And
they're setting something up. Yeah. Something's being set up behind the scenes. Yeah. But I actually think there is going to be less excitement around Boston because people don't need to get the standard.
Yeah. Less pressure.
I think there's a lot of Europeans who don't need to worry about running 13 flat. Americans as well, they don't need to worry about it so much. So, yeah, I wonder if it will just be whether someone wants to go rip a world record, probably. And to be fair, the European standards are still quick. Was it like 13:08 or something? And sub 15 for the women. But anyway, the news this week, we'll get onto Bucks. We'll talk through some of those headline athletes on the entry list. But the news this week for me was the London Marathon entries for the Brits.
Oh, yes. All the big boys in there. Caress is in there. Assessments in there. We've got Emma Hamid, Gebre Selassie, Jake Smith.
Paddy Deaver's in there. George James is in there. Mark Scott's doing it. Jack Rowe's doing it. Basically, anyone who has run a marathon in the last 2 years and is a big name on the British distance running scene is doing the London Marathon, which I think is very cool that they're all going to line up together and basically just see who comes out on top. It's going to, I think for a lot of them though, this is going to be a challenge of can they make sure they get to this start line healthy? Because if they don't, some of them are then going, best part of a year, 2 years before they've done, before they've managed to get it right for a marathon. So I think there is, and you want to know how to get to start line healthy. I think there'll be a lot of them looking to push the boundaries because in their heads, it's a free hit. It's like, right, go big or go home. There's no championship that we need to worry about. It's like, there's no standard really that we need to hit. So let's just fully get after it, full send. But at the same time, you've got to make sure you get to the start line. And I think, Emil has discussed that, he's like, in Paris, he was definitely in British record shape and he's been a bit frustrated over the last 12 months. He hasn't been able to show, his full shape when he's been at his fittest. So I think there's an opportunity for him to do that, but he has to get to start line healthy.
Yeah, he certainly does. And then he's got to make sure he beats all the other Brits rather than necessarily worrying about running too quick, Because that's the risk you take is, I think we're all in agreement, right, that on his day, Emil is our best marathoner. But if you try and push too hard and then you let a couple of those other guys be you, then people start to question your performance.
I don't think Emil, and this is the thing, I'm not sure they'll be fazed about losing to one another in London this year. It will just be about, can they get a big one on the board, personally. I actually think they need there's a crop of them, right? I mean, I think Emil might be in a league of his own if he...
That's what I mean. I think for someone like Emil, I think...
He'll be in a league of his own, I imagine, if he's in the shape, that he once was in Paris. But then you've got, Momo, Sessman, Diva, all these guys are going to be around that 2.6 mark. Can Sessman keep that PB streak going? You imagine they're going to want to crack 2.6 or be 2.6.30, break 2.7, be in the 2.6s, potentially even crack 2.6. I think Emil will be looking for some. Mark Scott needs a good one on the board. Jack Rowe as well. These guys just need a positive experience where things just go right and click.
They need to just run a smooth 2.8, 2.9.
But yeah, London have pulled out all the stops. I mean, women's field, Purdue, Harvey, Abby Donnelly, McColgan, Jess Warner-Judd, Lucy Reed, Louise Smiles, Wright, Verity Hopkins. I mean, that field is absolutely...
Yeah, this one's more of a race, actually. this one is more of a...
Not a race, mate. McColgan will absolutely crush him. In the shape she's in now, continues to get fitter.
Yeah, if she does.
McColgan will, you know, she'll talk about full send. She's going sub 220. That's where her mindset is, I reckon, right now.
Yeah.
So
I hope she does.
Big announcements, yeah. So big announcements for London. And quickly, should we just preview a few of these bucks? I mean, bucks is a tricky one. You scan through your list. I counted Loughborough men, 160 of them. Oh no, I think 150 entered.
Hey, that's the whole cross country club, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
It is on their home course, so there's no I might be exaggerating a touch, but there was definitely 125, 130 plus, I think. Big, big numbers from Loughborough. And so, yeah, that was their men. Their women, I think, have an exceptionally strong team. I think Loughborough women are going to be tough to beat. They have two top returners from last year, Charlotte Dannett, Emily Parker. Obviously, they had good summers and good winters as well this year. And then they've got India Frost and India Barwell for their four. This year, though, women is equal to men now.
In terms of distance, but
six to run and four to score.
Four to score. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Makes sense.
It does. I think it's much better that way. I think it just pays tribute a little bit more to teams with a bit more depth. It's so hard to compete for a challenging team. It was almost, you know, impossible, because if Loughborough Birmingham also have a low stick, three to score, that's it. You know, the game's wrapped up. Whereas now, you know, that four, you do need a much, much deeper squad, which is good. And obviously what was happening with the women's short course, it was just being loaded. I think it was like 600-700 people in there last time. So I think it's just been loaded up too much. So I think it adds the A race is a lot deeper as well. Obviously, further down you field you go, because you've got six per team. Jess Bailey's entered. I don't know if she's going to run that. Yeah, I've heard she's a little injured. But Birmingham have Kate Willis, Holly Weedle. They were both very high up last year, around the 10 mark for them. I'm just trying to see who else Birmingham have. And then obviously Oxford, we're exceptionally strong. Can't wait to see them operate. I won't go into Oxford's team.
Oh, well, there's no phone in this week, so people can't ring up and say,
shit. I can't talk about Oxford's team, not on the podcast, but we're shaping up well. I'm excited.
We'll talk next week, mate. We'll talk next week, will we?
Well, it depends how well it goes, mate. I think it's just a cracking weekend, right? Get all these, everyone, the same venue. And I think the fact is that Loughborough as well, it should be, I think the atmosphere will be absolutely stellar. The course looks good. It's twisty. It's flat. From what I've seen from the elevation graph, will it be muddy? That's the kind of question that I'm weighing up in my head now. It's a good bit of rain happening at the moment, but you know, maybe it drains well up there.
It's an absolute bog fest, no matter what the weather's like. Because, well, by the time the last race is on anyway.
Well, look, this year, I think, I don't know who's changed the timetable, but obviously the men used to be last race. Now they're the, I think women's A first, men's A second, or the other way around. And so I'm thinking, who's changed that timetable? Is that Loughborough doing that for their interest? Like they want a nice dry course, put those B races at the end. Why the men have always been last race of the day. I don't know why they've done that. So, because for me, the atmosphere was always better, because you had obviously two short course races. They would finish. They would then watch the ace. So I think Loughborough might have something to do with that timetable, but I won't start.
Hey, no advantage. You put yourself up to host and then you can pick the timetable.
Mate, have you tried dealing with Oxfordshire Council? Loot donuts there, mate. Absolute donuts.
Hey, careful.
Yeah. Oh, mate, we've got a congestion charge. We've got I've read somewhere as well they want to turn Oxford into like a 15-minute city. You're going to have to start getting these just passes to come in and out.
You have to sort me out. I'm coming to visit you next week.
I know, mate. Honestly, you'll probably have to pay the congestion. Honestly, Oxfordshire Council, just useless people. I think they just sit there and go, how can we make all our citizens' lives as hard as possible? Let's do that. Let's dig up 8 roads within a mile radius. Let's do that. Let's put temporary traffic lights everywhere. Let's put congestion charge down. Let's not let anyone use playing fields. Anyway, men, Birmingham's team, Quinn Mealingham, Archie Parkinson. It is tough. There's so many names just to scan through here, mate. Obviously, Birmingham always strong, but obviously I think they are great. They have lost a lot of big hitters from last year. Loughborough men, could you say their favourite?
Always favourites, aren't they? These days.
Sam Hodgson, Jennings, Steve Kerfoot, Alex Malloy, Romy Lingram. Yeah, very solid team. So there's...
They were last year.
Birmingham are going through a rebuilding phase, but the thing is, they're so deep. And same with Loughborough, right? It's such deep teams. So, But happy with the Oxford team. Very happy, so... Could this be the year? We'll see.
Mate, what has happened to St Mary's?
Yeah, I was just looking there at the names, there are a few good names there. But
in terms of that, they were a team with the depth, right? I'm not saying Birmingham and Loughborough didn't have it, but I think when it came to cross country, I mean, in the track as well, in the distances, St Mary's were the ones who they had all the depth, right?
Yeah, they did. And it's just, you know, a large part of that was down to just recruitment. But then I think Birmingham and Loughborough just cottoned on and started recruiting a lot better, to be honest. And, you know, St Mary's lost fine. I mean, St Mary's, Matt Pickering will definitely feature. Frank McGrath is in there. I'm just seeing his Josh Hobbs is in there. Fucking hell. St Mary's actually, man, don't overlook them. That is a good team. Right, mate. I mean, that pretty much wraps up this week's podcast. Next week, we want to debate. There's a few things that we're looking to debate next week. The World Road Running selection policy. There's a few athletes obviously been up in arms about that. We know that BA are going to leave people very little time to go get that qualification mark of, you know, the trials is in March at Bath. And then, you know, we'll four against pacemakers. Is there a need for pacemakers anymore? Are pacemakers ruining the sport? Are wave lights ruining the sport? Can meet organisers save themselves thousands of pounds instead of paying pacemakers, put that back into the athlete's prize pot? And instead of spending thousands on wave lights, why not just again put that into the athlete's prize pot, save yourself some money? Is there a need for pacers?
Well, mate, don't get me started because we'll record.
No, we'll save it for next week. But there'll be that. That's a preview to some of the conversations we'll have next week. But hey, guys, thanks for listening and we'll see you on the other side of Bucks Cross Country.
Calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.